On Point, hosted by Peter Van Aartrijk. Conversations with interesting and informative experts on technology, branding, culture, social media marketing, and other great topics.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Peter Van Aartrijk, your host for On Point, a podcast series brought to you by our good friends at Insurance Journal. And today we are chatting with Dave Evans. Welcome, Dave.
Pleasure to be here.
Dave and I go back a few years, and mainly because we kind of our paths crossed at the Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers of America, or the Big I. Dave, you also had some work, I believe, in New York, New York State, prior to your joining the association.
Yeah, Peter, and it seems like only yesterday, but yeah, I had consulted to several types of trades associations, but I'd started out my introduction to the independent insurance agents was through the New York Independent Insurance Agents and Brokers. Then in those days, it was just IIA. They had not incorporated brokers yet. And from that, they thought the average intelligence of both the national and the states would go up if I went from New York down to Washington. So I headed down there, and it's been really interesting to watch, because in the last 20 plus years, and I know the people listening to this are acutely aware of it, but it's the technology piece of the insurtech, the demographic challenges that the industry's facing in terms of replacing some of the talent that is clearly exiting in my cohort group, and the like. It's certainly a point of inflection. More than ever, there's opportunities, but there are a lot of challenges before independent agents, no question about it, and the distribution system at large.
That's right. And Dave, I know you wore a number of hats at the Big I, one of which was the financial planning piece. And let's talk about that, because this is an area that you have your certified financial planner. You certainly have a lot of passion, and you helped me when I started my own business back in '99 with some considerations around retirement. But generally speaking, maybe we could talk first about the financial literacy issue, or maybe it's a non-issue, I don't know, for agency principals. What are some of the best practices? How should they go about thinking about being financially sound in terms of retirement planning? Because I understand certainly that succession planning is an issue for agents. So that's one piece. It's who's going to take over the firm. Are they saving enough for retirement? And then there's a whole part of what they can do to help their own clients. But maybe we could start with your impressions of what's needed. What are some things you're observing among agents themselves?
Well, more than ever, it's very complex as small business people. So forget the insurance component for now. Let's detach that. The reality is, running a small business like you do, and now I am, there are things that come into it, both from a tax side of it, benefits, and then, of course, technology. It would be, years ago, if you opened a business and you had an expertise in insurance or tax or whatever, you had to print up some cards and letterhead and network. And you networked principally by picking up the phone, calling people, getting involved in organizations, et cetera. So I'm very empathetic that insurance agents, now if you broaden that, the other piece that insurance agents really have to navigate is the technology piece, as, when they're smaller, perhaps they're not going to have a full-blown agency management system. But if you layer on top the whole digital marketing piece, and then, what entity makes sense for them? Is it an LLC, an S-Corp, et cetera? And the fact is that our tax laws are not like the Old Testament. They do change, and that leads to uncertainty. That I'm very empathetic that many agents go, wow, I don't feel I'm in control of my financial situation. And I think the one thing, when you look at studies being done on this whole topic of, quotes, financial wellness and financial stress, whether it's an agency principal, whether it's an employee, big or small, if we don't feel like we have a plan, even if we have some daunting things, school loans or credit card debt, whatever the issue is for someone, if we feel we have a plan, and even if the plan causes some pain, if we feel we can get from point A to point B and accomplish our goal, we feel better each day. But if we feel like we're just like the literal pinball machine, where we're just going back and forth and trying to keep the ball from going through the flippers financially, where you have people going after you for collections or whatever the situation, federal government on your student loans, that causes a tremendous amount of stress, and the studies are bearing that out. So that is one thing that I would urge all business owners, and particularly independent agents, is to take a step back and really say, am I in control of my financial situation, or is my financial situation controlling me?
Okay. All right. So where do you see some of the pain points in the financial situation for agency owners, Dave?
So, you know, typically a lot of agency owners had to incur some debt. You know, now sometimes they may be second or third generation, and their parent or parents or aunts and uncles or whoever owned the agency were a little generous in terms of almost buying themselves out. But the reality is, generally, if you want to get into this business, if you're starting a new agency or if you're buying someone else, you're taking some risk like any entrepreneur. And so when you do that, it certainly creates some stress. Now, if the longer you have in terms of your takeoff, so if you have a long runway and you say, okay, we're going to plan this out with the other principals, or if I'm leaving an insurance company because it's like I'm a commercial expert on some aspect, cybersecurity insurance, now what do I need to live on? And the more I can try and have liquidity and have a business plan for when I go into business, and then always add to it because it takes longer than you think. That's the first part. Unfortunately, sometimes people know about, they're an expert in an area, but they're not necessarily understand the context of the whole business piece. And so there's a lot of great tools out there through the SBA. I've been involved with, even though I've got a couple master's degrees and 10 designations, the Small Business Administration has a thing called SCORE. In other words, around the country, the SBA has all around the country these groups where you can get involved, where they have volunteers that are retired business people. And they're very, like in my area of Fairfield County, Connecticut, I mean, I've got retired GE people, IBM. And when I say retired, some of these people walked out at 55 because they could. So I would urge a lot of agents, aside from the insurance agent networks they have, to look at their local SBA / whatever their acronym is. Usually it's a function of their geographic area. And these are funded all over the country, and they have things on digital marketing, what business entity. That's how I found my intellectual property attorney. That's how I got some tips for doing my LinkedIn page and making it better. So I would urge you that. That's a good first step for any business person.
Okay. A lot of agencies, Dave, have diversified from traditional P&C, you know, commercial and personal lines, into employee benefits and things like that. It's interesting how, you know, those revenue streams, I mean, health insurance aside, which has been volatile, of course, but it sort of smooths out the cycles in P&C. It helps, you know, obviously, additional revenue from a commercial account if you're selling the benefits and such. But why is it that so many agents seem to struggle with the financial piece of their, you know, their own financial health? Is it sort of like a situation where the cobbler's kids have no shoes?
You know, there is a grain of truth in that, Peter. You know, it's interesting. I sat on a disaster relief fund that we had for the industry through the Big Eye. And, when you know, this is after whether it be Katrina, and we just had four hurricanes, Harvey and the like. But a lot of the claims we sometimes see are people in the industry that drop comprehensive coverage and their car got flooded. And as you know, that's not an expensive piece. So, I mean, there is some of that. But I would say that some of it is, does it make sense to get outside your comfort zone? And what aspects? I mean, if I'm doing a fair amount of personalized homeowners, man, if I'm not partnering with someone, and there's so many life MGAs that will literally take the burden off me to do life insurance, even if it's level term, I'm still doing a service to my client, for my client. And secondly, I'm providing a revenue stream, and you know, especially if you're getting started in the business, if you can really knock down some personal lines accounts, auto and homeowners, I'm not speaking to commercial yet, and you know those are annual commissions, but obviously a lower percent. If you make some term life sales, you know, if you're making, you know, 4 months, some number like that, you're basically going to get 90 to 100% of the commission depending on the product, unless it's a permanent product. So that can really help you get through that first couple of years. So I would say to people that you don't need to do everything if you're not comfortable in the medical insurance space, understandable. But certainly life insurance, the fact that people will take that off your plate. Some people do voluntary benefits like worksite marketing, especially if they're doing work comp and the like. Again, by having a partner, you can really outsource a lot of it. And really what you're getting paid for is the relationship.
Right, yeah. I think you and I are both parents of millennial kids, millennial age kids. I think the band now for them is the youngest is 20 and the oldest is 37. So I think I'm right about that. Mine are in their mid-20s. I'm asking that because I got the feeling that like an important product like life insurance is not something quite on the radar of millennials. And also they're having trouble in the life insurance industry of finding agents at that age that can sell to, you know, who can sell to millennials, because people typically buy from people who are plus or minus 5 years their age. So is that something that you see too, Dave, or am I just reading too many articles about the millennials?
No. In fact, I think the part that I most disappointed sometimes when I talk to our members, when I go around the country at our state conventions, are they have this idea that, well, someone may start out with a direct writer carrier, captive carrier, but then if they have kids and they get married, or hopefully the other way around, get married, have kids, and then buy a home, you know, what we call life trigger events, that's when I'll get them. And the answer is no. People form behaviors, as we know. And the idea that when my kids have lived in cities like New York, Denver, Austin, Baltimore, and Minneapolis, and I had a tough time finding an independent agent to, because they didn't, at the time, didn't have an auto and they wanted a renter's policy with an umbrella. And so, you know, a couple of kids had cars, three now have cars. Even when I was trying to get auto and an umbrella in a renter's policy, they wouldn't get back to my kids. And these were obviously people that I looked to make sure that they were members of the Big I. And again, I don't want to paint with a broad brush. My point is, it's frustrating to me that part of it is that segment, as you point out, is ignored. And I just think, like, I'll give you an example. With my oldest, they had an apartment, and I told them to get a $5 million umbrella with their renters. They couldn't find some that just couldn't be bothered, so to speak. And then now they purchased a vehicle, and now they've purchased a house. And now they have it all with an independent agent who's doing a great job for them. But I guess my point is that I would challenge some agents that feel like it's not worth my time to serve that market. And there's a lot of educated millennials that are fluent, that have the money, that if you explain to them why they need an umbrella, maybe they ride a bike to work. They're worried about their UIM coverage if someone hits them. In the gig economy, they may be working out of their apartment and they don't have any benefits. So I would say, yeah, that's a great opportunity. And I'll tell you, if you get one, they will recommend you around. My millennial kids have told their other friends about, hey, I've got this kind of coverage. And, you know, it's so inexpensive for an umbrella. There's no reason not to talk to someone about it.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that the millennials are trading leads back and forth. It's pretty astonishing how they communicate with each other. It's not just on social platforms. It's just traditional, you know, word of mouth and also texting. And it's just different today. In many ways, agents have said for years, I depend on referrals. I don't need to market. With very little effort, they could unleash an entire generation of referrals sources that they've got to reposition to serve that market for sure. So, Dave, I neglected to ask you earlier. Your website is 401ksleuth.com, 401ksleuth.com. What are you sleuthing around on? What is your role today?
So it's helping. Obviously, I've spent a lot of my career in the area of helping people with the retirement plans and the like. But more than ever, financial wellness is a key part. You can't help someone design a retirement plan. You can't help employees save if the rest of their financial life is out of whack. So one of the things, the sleuth, the reason why I picked that term, is because part of it for people is sleuthing out the avenues that are available to them to solve their problems. And, you know, let's take student debt for a minute. And I think this is very relevant for agency principals in this sense. A lot of times if we're hiring people that are younger or older, but especially if you're hiring younger people, the theory might be, well, if they're going to be a producer, you know, maybe I don't need to quite pay them as much to get going. I'm going to help train them. You know, maybe they have minimal expenses. But just a couple stats that might be enlightening. The average student coming out of college today, if they have student loans, it averages $37,000 per student. That's according to Aon. And two-thirds of those college graduates say they have difficulty paying their loan back. And then Mercer, the consulting firm Mercer, did a study. They estimate that 150 work hours a year are consumed of people's time at work on dealing with financial issues. And let's face it, we're all guilty of that. And so how does this tie into agency principles? Well, if I'm trying to hire someone and they've got sizable student debt, they may not have the perceived flexibility to take, you know, sort of what I'd call, you know, low wages, relatively speaking, for a college student. You're not, you know, most people aren't going to start someone in an agency at 50 grand to be a producer coming out of school. They're going to look for it to be sort of a shared investment. So my point is that there are a couple tools that agents can avail themselves of, and I would urge them going to the Consumer Federation Protection Bureau. The CFPB has a wonderful website full of stuff, as well as the FDIC Money Smart. And both of those sites, they actually have materials if you want to do, quotes, training. If you want to go to your clients and help do some financial thing. Obviously, an insurance agent might be talking about, you know, things like auto and homeowners and other coverages, but they actually have ready-made slide decks. Both the CFPB, they have a thing called Practitioner Resources, that's the tab, and they've got all sorts of things that you can get in terms of financial education for adults, student loans for veterans, et cetera, and the same for the FDIC. They'll actually send to your house a complete CV of the materials. And so I think if by having that, one of the things that students, if they have federal loans, and it's critical, they should not refinance to non-federal loans, because you do have flexibility to pick an income replacement, a repayment plan that can make the payments as low as 10% of your monthly income. So if you reduce your monthly income, if you're starting out, if you've got one of those loans versus a different kind of loan, which would be just a regular public, a non-public loan, just a private debt through bank, they don't necessarily have that flexibility. So it's important for both students and people that employ people with student debts. And by the way, it's not just younger people. One out of five people in their 50s has a student loan still. So it's a broader piece. But I think this is a real issue, not just for you know, insurance agencies and small businesses, but particularly ones that are hiring people like our, an independent agent who's trying to bring someone on board that may have considerable student debt.
Well, that's pretty shocking, actually. That many people, not much money. I know my kids have friends that have over $100,000 of debt, and it's basically liberal arts type stuff. It's not like they're going to be doctors or anything.
One thought to that, Peter, also is, you know, so almost eight out of 10 students now have a student loan coming out of college, and there's $1.3 trillion in student loans. This is also an issue for insurance agents because, you know, if they have that kind of debt, are they going to buy the kinds of coverages that they should have to protect themselves? So there's a little bit of a crowding out effect. But my other point is that the federal government doesn't underwrite. The only time they really look at someone's ability to repay is for a parent, what's known as a Perkins Plus loan. That's otherwise, if you're a young person, the federal government will lend you to the maximum amounts and not look at your ability to repay. And I think some people would say that's how we got into this situation. because usually, you know, someone won't lend you money that you can't repay. And some of these folks, these loans can go as long as 20 to 25 years. And by the way, even if it's forgiven, because the federal government at the end of a 20-year period under certain repayment plans will forgive it, you get taxed on the unpaid balance. So it's not forgiven. Mm-hmm. It's just written off, but you still owe an amount to the government for taxes.
So what's I know that that some larger corporations have it where they can help the student pay off the loans and such. But what about agency principals? Are they in any kind of position to pay more than the $50,000 to be a producer? I mean, what can they do besides information sharing to help? What have you seen?
Well, I think the key is that they, when they go to structure the person's pay, it makes a difference how you pay them. Because if it's based on your monthly pay, and remember with a producer, it's going to be what? It's going to be low, very initially, and then it's going to take a while, and then it's going to be choppy. So it would be good to enter into a conversation with the person to say, you know, have you thought about it? And by the way, there are a couple of techniques. There's things known as deferment and forbearance, which are available under federal loans. And you, each person gets a PIN number from their federal loan servicer and that they can go to. So my point is, the key for an insurance agent is to have the conversation with the employee so that they really have thought this through, and that way, or if they're coming from another job, it may not be their entry level, but they're coming from a regular salary and they want to become an agent, and they really thought about what the impact is on repaying their student and other, you know, maybe can be consumer credit card debt, which sometimes you can get renegotiated if you have a plan. So my point is, I think it's very important. You don't want to get into people's business, but if it's going to end up creating a problem for them down the road, better to know up front what the game plan is, and then maybe the agency could be in a position to say, okay, if you're doing thus and so. Some companies now have entered into programs where they contribute, they have a matching contribution where they're actually contributing to help pay down the student debt. Wouldn't that be a great carrot if you're hiring, it doesn't have to just be a producer, anyone that's productive in an agency, to say, hey, look, you know, we want to keep you here at the end of 1 year and 18 months and 2 years, we're going to give you, you know, assuming you hit these goals, we're going to give you a little extra with the understanding it's going to go to your student debt, not to go, you know, on a vacation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I overheard an agent actually saying that recently, that it was a very attractive thing to offer a new recruit who was a millennial age. It wasn't a lot of money, but it was the thought that went into it, and just one last thing to kind of ease the burden of this new recruit with the financial stuff.
Well, and the other part that's a little tangential, but the other issue that smaller businesses, including independent agents, have is it may be a 2, 3, 4, 5 person agency, and the business, because people have access perhaps through a spouse to coverage, through health insurance coverage, that they're not offering it. Well, now all of a sudden, let's say you're hiring a younger person that doesn't have a spouse, or an older person doesn't have a spouse or doesn't have access to medical. Are you realistically going to expect that person to pay for health insurance all out of their own pocket? And I want to point out that one thing that is a tool that's available to small businesses like independent agencies are known as what is known as a QSEHRA. And what is it? It's a qualified small employer HRA. So again, let's say I'm hiring someone out of college and they're going to have to get medical insurance because the mandate's still there, the individual mandate. But if they have to pay for it out of pocket, that's a lot of money. Let's say the cost would be, I'm just picking a number, $7,000 a year for coverage or whatever, depending on where they live. Under a QSEHRA, I can put in a plan, and this is effective. It was signed into law last December. It was the last bill that President Obama signed, that it used to be I had to offer health insurance through the agency in order to have an HRA. And if I have less than 50 employees, I can actually offer this QSE, Qualified Small Employer HRA. Now, for me as a business owner, if I'm a 2% owner, I can't utilize it, but I can already deduct my medical premiums as a business expense like you do. But for a young person, I could fund over $5,000 for their premiums and or expenses. And if it's a family situation, I can fund for 2018, $10,250. So in other words, I don't have to provide the health insurance, but I can provide a tax-free fund for my employees that they can either go out and purchase it. If it's a young person up to age 26, they can be under their parents' plan under the Affordable Care Act, or if they're in New Jersey, it's to age 29. However they're getting there, if they're a veteran. By the way, for an older employee, let's say I've got someone that's 65 or 6 years old, they can take a Medicare Advantage plan and get reimbursement through the agency up to this $5,000 and $10,000 limit. So I think that's another tool that agents have, both for themselves and to let their clients know, where if they don't need to provide coverage necessary through the agency because some of the people have it and access through a spouse, they can at least provide a tax-free way to do it, which is much more efficient. So I just wanted to mention that, because I think that's sort of a companion issue theme that I hear a lot of smaller agents say, I just can't afford to provide health insurance for my employees anymore, and or I'll provide some money, but they've been providing it after tax.
Well, Dave, it's a lot to take in, but I think at the top of this recording, you were mentioning about having a plan, and I think some sort of path or plan is a good step for any individual or company. And my other takeaway is being a more attractive place for young people to want to work. And having some of this financial discussion is kind of important. You know, if you don't have the conversation, that's kind of just left to salary and maybe some kind of commission bonus, et cetera. But this is important stuff for young people, you know, these conversations. So I applaud you for giving that some thought. For those of you that, because Dave is always willing to share within reason, of course, because, you know, you are a business, but in my experience with Dave, Dave's always been very gracious with his time and resources, and making me think differently about things. But Dave, it's Dave at 401ksleuth.com is your email. And I think too, Dave, it'd be great to see you. I know you're onto a new journey now with your own business, but if there's a way we could get you more published in the insurance industry, it would be a really good service, because it's not just financial planning. Your background is with having hung around with a lot of small, mid-sized, and large independent agencies over the years that have different kind of needs. So that knowledge base is pretty significant, and I think it would be something that people would need to read more about this. So hopefully you'll be around. You'll stay around the industry a bit. Not sure that's your plan, but it'd be great if you did.
Well, no, actually, Peter, thank you for the kind words. I am actually, my business plan is networking through independent agents to help their clients out. And really, it's a need-based thing where we have a portal so that companies can have their employees actually get content related to their needs. Again, it's not easy being a small business person where you're competing with larger companies that have benefit programs, but the one advantage to an independent agency and a small business is the flexibility. And you're right, for the right person, if you show they care and you can have those one-on-one conversations about what are their needs, and then that's why, as I told you, I named it Sleuth. And then if you look at every available avenue out there, whether it be through the government or some other way to help people deal with these issues, you can a lot of times come to a way, you know, you can come to that plan. And I guess I'll end with that thought that, you know, if you don't have a plan, if you feel like your finances are controlling you versus you controlling them, that's just a tough place to be, because every day you wake up and you're just worried about, you know, how am I going to meet this obligation? And no one feels good about that. And it's not easy. When I came out of school, I mean, I think I paid my college was $3,000 a year for everything, and that was a private school, and having put a few kids through college, that's not the number. So I'm empathetic of what young people are going through today.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, actually. I'm not sure that this has something to do why so many are moving home with the parents, because it literally is the only thing they can really afford to do, which creates a whole other set of problems that we won't have time to get into. But Dave, I want to thank you for everything you've done for agents over the years. It's been great to know you. I hope we can. It's good to know what you're doing with agents. We'll continue. So I'm glad we had a chance to catch up, and thanks for taking some time to share some ideas today.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Peter. And I appreciate obviously everything you've done to always bring new ideas. So hopefully I didn't bore everyone to tears.
No. Okay. All right, my friend. We'll stay in touch for sure.
All righty. Take care.
You too.
This has been On Point with Peter Van Artrijk, a podcast presentation of Wells Media Group.